Welcome to the Building BN podcast, where we take an inside look at Bloomington Normal economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners. Hosted by your BN EDC. I'd like to start off our episodes by getting a background of our guests, and today is another special episode and following up yesterday's, where we introduced a new staff member in Nora Harrison, our new office manager. And today we're proud to announce that Carl Teichman, formerly of Illinois Wesleyan University, is going to join us. Mm-hmm. So this could be, we could probably spend a lot of time just in the history and the background. Because I don't know if you ever, I guess first, like, have you ever had a different job besides Illinois Wesleyan?
Well, actually, no, I haven't. So my saga starts basically having come to Bloomington Normal as a student to attend Illinois Wesleyan, and other than a couple of times going back home for summer jobs, I haven't left.
Okay.
I've spent now just about close to 48 years in the Bloomington Normal community. So I feel like this is home.
And where was home when you used to go back to?
Home was, home when I used to go back from here was Antioch, Illinois,
okay,
which is up in the Chain Lakes area in northern Illinois. Prior to that, I was born in Chicago on the north side. So for those who are Cub fans, yeah, I am a identified Cub fan, long and hard. And actually, I have a little bit closer tie to the Cubs because I was born on the north side and actually lived at 1059 Addison, which is directly across from the ballpark.
Nice.
My dad at the time was part owner and manager of what became the Cubby Bear.
And so
back then it was Cubs Grill, and it had nowhere near the reputation that it has now.
So we were literally born into it. So
yeah, sort of, yeah. Right. And of course, there's many times when I kind of wish that we've been able to keep that, but unfortunately, he passed away at a very young age, and so we didn't keep the bar. And we stayed in Chicago, but moved to another location and such. So.
Well, I won't hold that against you then, because I'm a Cardinal fan.
Yeah,
but that makes total sense that you would be.
Yeah.
Courtney, what are you? Do you have baseball?
Go White Sox.
White Sox. Oh, we're, yeah.
Yeah, well, then, hey, this is a good. Yeah.
Which is funny, whenever I actually got up in the Tinley Park area and people would ask me about Cubs or Sox, mm-hmm. like, nobody cares about the Cardinals up there. It's Cubs or Sox. And then here, there's not a lot of Sox fans, actually.
No.
Yeah, you get a good mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just the proximity of being to St. Louis as well. Well, yeah, being at Wesleyan for that extended time, that is a very unique personal fact. Are there any other ones? I mean, even the fact that your parents or your dad owned the Cubby Bear, that's a, do you have another fun fact?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the Cubby Bear back then. It was Cubs Grill, but Cubs still. I think being at the university, I've been fortunate to have several jobs. When I was at there, I started in residence life was assistant dean of students for a year, and then started working for President Anderson, who had just come in. And so I worked part-time while I was pursuing my degrees up at ISU.
Nice.
So I kind of like to think of myself as having a kind of a foot in both campuses, to speak, having done an undergrad at Wesleyan and then a master's at ISU, and then regrettably being ABD from ISU as well.
Okay.
So wish I had completed the doctorate, but that wasn't in the cards.
Okay.
So,
well, you might be able to help me because I'm working on a PhD now, so hopefully I can get through it. And that is something I noticed, on your resume whenever we were recruiting you into this role, is like having both. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because there'd be something like, well, if he gets this job, he's just going to promote Wesleyan. And it's like, no. He's got both ends of this amazing corridor that we got in town.
No. I think the one of the nice things about Bloomington Normal is we have kind of the best of both worlds, mm-hmm. in terms of having a small private, but also having a large public institution here. I think people, and a lot of times it's perhaps undervalued, just the impact that higher education has in Bloomington Normal. It's the same thing with ag.
Yes.
We tend to forget our ag roots, but they're very much here.
That's one of the reasons we like to do this podcast, is just to remind everybody. You know, you look at, I don't think people realize just the amount of associations when it comes to agriculture that are right here. And I don't want to say it's out of sight, out of mind, because you see it if you're going to Peoria or to Chicago.
Yep.
But the GDP that comes off of this, like, we're top producers in so many things. And my family's from farmers, so we always like to joke that we've got the richest dirt in the world is right here in Central Illinois, which is why ag is so important. But you're right when it comes to the universities, not just for the jobs, but there is something to be said about having, like you said, a public university the size and scale of ISU, but then also the private side, and then also Heartland Community College.
Yes.
Like,
when in today's environment and economic development, when we're so focused on workforce, we get a lot of looks just because of that educational sector that we have here.
Yep.
So it's very, very important.
Yeah.
So yeah, this, you're changing gears. You're coming into this new world, the foreign land of economic development. But honestly, whenever somebody had mentioned that you could be available, it's, I don't want to say it's the same gig, but oh wait, before I go too much farther, another another fun fact, you were the normal citizen of the year.
Yes, I was.
There's not a lot of those either.
So. In 2017 and such. Yeah, and also I was chair of the McLean County Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
I was their president for a year. We don't have a whole lot of, I think, going back to the chamber. There are few of us that from the higher ed sector that have been presidents of the chamber per se. But I just think it speaks to the our sectors that we have here, our economic sectors that we've got.
Yeah, so it's very important for that public-private partnership, because in chambers and EDCs and the public sector, it's really easy to get in the silos, you know, individually on campus, but also just as businesses in general. So that, that connection's very important.
Yeah.
So going back to, you know, switching gears, you position wise, you know, your job was to go out, build relationships. Economic development distilled down is nothing but information and relationships. And it really starts with this business retention and expansion role. I know our friends in the local press would say, you know, the EDC is focused now on BRE. And it's like, there has always been a BRE role. There's different positions over time. And now this is actually Casey's former role. But yeah, as you, you know, take classes and read more books, one of the three core sectors of economic development, you have real estate development, you know, which is Casey's doing now. You've got business retention expansion, because that's you take care of your own, and then the financial side, which is what I really focus on when it comes to incentives. But yeah, as you transitioned into this, did you, how far did you get through that manual?
Not a lot.
Reads like stereo instructions.
Yes, I'm working my way through. But actually, I see this job as being an extension of some of the stuff that I did with the Downtown Bloomington Association. I was part of their board. That's how I got involved with Marty Vonnegut and the EDC at that time, where we were putting a focus on retaining businesses here in McLean County, not just Bloomington or Normal, but McLean County as a whole.
Yep.
So
that's literally the gig. In a nutshell, if you sum it up, you're really going in, doing what you're already doing, asking a business, just right off the bat, one, thanks for being here. Overall, that goes such a long way that people, they want to hear that. But then also, you know, are they in growth mode?
Right.
And then if not, what barriers are in the way? Because a lot of times there's some commonalities in those barriers. Yep. And if we hear it from enough people, if it's a local issue, we can go, you know, talk to the city or the town or even the county. A lot of times it's a state issue, but we have great connections with the state of Illinois, and they've recently changed some of their incentive programs based off of our feedback. When there's enough times that we lose for the same reason, we're like, hey guys, it's pretty simple. They're going to the same states. What tools do they have that we don't? So that's huge. But then also, speaking of tools, and we talked about this a little bit the other day, is just getting you that toolbox. That toolbox is, we, Casey and I just met with the business yesterday, confidential until they're ready to announce, but he's like, I know last time we did this, I got a hold of you too late, so this time I want to make sure I'm aware of the tools. And just, we told him what was available, and he's like, I knew there were tools. But even at the state of Illinois, going on DCO in the incentive section, it's always changing, which is what's so great about having Lauren in our office twice a week, because a lot of times, you know, we're kept ahead of like what's coming or what's going to be coming out. So the back to business grants, they just closed. That was due on the 10th, but letting the small mom and pops know, because they don't have these giant tax departments
right
like the bigger guys do. So yeah, it's just one, thanking them, two, finding out if there's barriers, if there's room for expansion, and then just letting them know that, you know, we have tools for them.
Yeah.
And then making those connections.
Yeah.
And ideally, you know, if they want to grow in place, that's an easier way to do a deal. Sometimes they outgrow their buildings. So you think about you know, Distill as a whole startup, you know, coming out of the SBDC at Wesleyan.
Yeah.
It's the brewing beer in their garage, and now they've got multiple locations, and they're big in Korea, which is funny because we've had people over and they realize, you know, who it was. Like, wait a minute, we drink that beer. I'm like, they're worldwide. So that's a great startup story.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of those kinds of stories, especially going back to the kind of the one we think about, State Farm Insurance, which got its start here, Steak and Shake.
Yes.
And of course, the one that's near and dear to my heart, Beer Nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who would have thought that this little product would, you know, become a international product? I'm sure Russ Shirk and his father, when they started the business, weren't thinking that these were products that were going to end up on an international level.
It's funny whenever we have just guests or prospects in town, and you know, they're like, okay, we've heard Ferrero's here, and we give them some chocolate, and they look down and they're like, oh, Beer Nuts is here. Like, it's one of those they forget about. And some people don't even realize that this is the home of State Farm, because State Farm is such a big brand, and when the NFL and everything else, they see it everywhere. It's like, no, this is actually their home. So yeah, it's a really, and we talked a little bit about, you know, where do you start, you know, what businesses, and for us, you go to the top employer, like who's got the biggest impact on the community. But yeah, you check in there first and you start working your way down. But I think a lot of people don't realize what businesses we have in this community. You go in some back area industrial parks, because we're not known for, you know, in industrial projects here, but Rivian's changing that. So there are more suppliers coming in, and we're getting known for making things again. But ideally, you go in there, you know, we have a great meeting, and then hopefully we can get them onto the podcast to tell their story.
Yes.
Because I think that helps out. And the other big thing, especially with the manufacturing sector, is finding out, you know, if they have, if they'll share who their suppliers are, who their buyers are, because we can save everybody money on logistics by bringing them closer. Because that's, we love manufacturing because there's a bigger ripple effect. They usually pay a little bit higher, but also the supplier and the buyer line. That's coming in, you bring those in, it's got a massive impact. So it's something that we can run through models. I don't want to primarily focus on manufacturing because you want to help out everybody. But I'm going to go ahead and warn you, most of the conversation is going to be about workforce right now. Where are my people?
it is. And, you know, to me, one of the interesting things, having been in the community for a long period of time, is when I first came here, you know, Country, State Farm, the insurance was the big sector here. We didn't have a lot of manufacturing. And I remember when Mitsubishi came to town, there was a lot of excitement about having a large manufacturer going in and seeing what it did to the west side of Bloomington, west side of Normal. That was a wonderful addition, per se. And of course, when they shuttered their plant, that wasn't what everyone had hoped for, but having Rivian come in and hopefully then having their suppliers and come in and help develop, but I think it really kind of positions the area for some really future growth. So that's what's exciting.
And for us, it's almost like, on a personal level, just diversifying your stock portfolio.
Certainly,
you have all your eggs in one basket. If something happens to that one industry, so that's another reason. And they're getting closer. I think manufacturing might be half now of what finance and insurance is. But yeah, if you look at the location quotient, which is a fun formula to find out your concentration compared to the rest of the U.S., insurance and finance is still massive here. But manufacturing, the numbers are just coming out finally for last year, and we're getting closer to that 9 to 10,000 employment range, which they're still not caught up, because I know Rivian's at 7,000. And I know Ferrero, they're still looking at 250. So it's going to keep going, and Brandt's doing their thing as well. And it's cool that a lot of the prospects coming in, they're other manufacturers. They're not even really associated with Rivian or Ferrero. They're just like, hey, we realize you guys are good at making things. What else can you make? Which goes back to the workforce.
Well, workforce, and then housing the workforce, which I know is a monumental issue for us at this point.
It was a perfect storm. It's great to hear that not only are some residential units going up, but even the universities building other ones. And that was one that kept John on to talk about the Petrick Center and what that could turn into. And mm-hmm. we've discussed as well, just the opportunities for entrepreneurship.
Yes.
I think overall, there's just a lot of work to do. So yeah. glad you're here.
Yeah, there is a lot of work. And, you know, creating that innovation corridor that both municipalities have talked about is, I think, vital mm-hmm. to our long-term economic success. And you're right, the Petrick Center will be one of the first physical pieces of that innovation corridor. But there's still a lot of work
yes.
left to be done.
Yeah, so. Entrepreneurship-wise, workforce-wise, we've got down the attraction and then, you know, the retention. We're doing that by the book. But yeah, Courtney right now is trying to figure out not just business retention, but it's more of the workforce retention. Because you got yes. these great students that are here.
Yep.
So, like I said, that's why the businesses give us a look. But it's like, how do you get them to stick around? So we've been playing around. Mm-hmm. I say we. Courtney's been playing around with yeah. TikTok and the students and just yeah. watching. We were even joking earlier about some of the comments that the students get. And that gets a lot of momentum whenever they post the videos compared to us. And then that engagement is really cool.
Yeah. And I will say, too, that what I've seen over the years is that there's this trend now of students that I think are starting to look a little, you know, usually people in my time at Wesleyan and also at ISU, a lot of students stayed around to work at State Farm,
mm-hmm.
Country, some of the larger employers per se, but that was it.
Right.
Most of the time they wanted to go to the big city,
yes.
so to speak, and go up to Chicago or go elsewhere around the nation per se. It's unfortunate that given the number of graduates that all three institutions produce, that we're not capturing a few more of those per
yep.
se. So if we could do that, you know.
That's literally phase one of yeah. the branding campaigns.
That's
yes.
the goal.
Capture the students. Phase yeah. two, we convert back into the commuting campaign until we get our houses. And once the houses are here, it'll be full boomerang, like just going after the alumni from Wesleyan mm-hmm. and ISU and saying, hey, mm-hmm. give us another look. Come home and partnering with our yeah. CVB and on the homecoming weekends and let them know like all the investment that's been made here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're a little bit further along in their careers and family-wise that this is a wonderful place
yeah.
To check out.
Yep.
Speaking of how wonderful it is, if you, which I'm sure you've done before, say you've got a prospective employee or there's someone mm-hmm. that's coming in town and this can be any time of the year, if you could pick like the perfect time for a perfect day to showcase Bloomington Normal McLean County, when would it be and where are you taking them for the day?
Well, I think I always think there are community shows that's best is during the spring and fall. When the weather is a little more moderate
mm-hmm.
And such. So bringing them in for that time period per se. But there's a lot to take them to.
Yeah.
Depending on what their interests are, especially some of the younger people who are interested in having a more active lifestyle, the Constitution Trail is just a godsend
yeah.
For our community. I think that trying to get them and showing them showing them some of the parks and the recreational opportunities that we have here, per se. We have tons of restaurants that just kind of play in. So if you're looking at just about any type of food at any level, you can basically find it here in Bloomington Normal. So it's just, I think, a nice community. And I will say that having friends and family that live in the Chicago area, one of the things that I talk a lot about is the commute,
mm-hmm.
Where if you go to a large urban area, you've got a 45-minute, hour,
mm-hmm.
Hour and a half commute. Here, personally, I have a 10-minute commute.
Yeah, I have two.
Yeah, and actually, and I won't say this to my family, but I used to have a 10-minute commute. I'll now have a 5-minute commute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I want to be sensitive to that per se.
Sure.
You learn to adapt. My own son has a 45-minute, almost an hour commute mm-hmm. in the morning up in the Chicago area, and so, that's one of the nice selling points, I think, of Bloomington Normal, that you really aren't, it's not going to take you a long time to get to your place of employment, pretty quickly. And actually, going anywhere in Bloomington Normal right now is pretty quick and easy. You're not going to find a whole lot of traffic jams that you're going to deal with at all with that. The occasional freight train in Uptown is probably the biggest inconvenience, and even those are only, 5-10 minutes for the most part. So.
Yeah, you touched on a couple of things to follow up on. One, the trail, you're right, which is why we put the trail right in the middle of the logo for Life Multiplied. And then even the name, it's really about abundance, that Bloomington times normal equals more in the math equation. Drive time's one of them. That's very important. Like, do you want your time back? I used to work when I was in Tinley, I could work for the Chicago Bears. And getting into downtown, I could do in 25 minutes. After the game, 2 hours. So, getting that time back, but still – even the commute or even having the option to go back up there with the Amtrak, like that's massive, and the airport. And it's just the dollar goes a lot further here. And you're right about the restaurants. There's a lot going on. If there was, like, you had somebody in town, like, okay, you have to stop by this place and order this thing. Like, what is that place and that thing?
Oh.
And you could say a couple. Like, a lot of people just start firing off their favorites.
Yeah, well, and I think we do a great job with Mexican food, which is one of my favorites. But I do have to give a shout out to Distill and to Epiphany Farms and Anjou. The farm-to-table kind of concept that we've got going on, I think, really is a great thing here. I basically tell my friends up in Chicago that our food is on par with a lot of places here in Illinois. So you're not going to go wrong coming down and going to most of the restaurants here in Bloomington. So
completely agree. I think that steak at Epiphany Farms itself. Oh, yeah. No, Jim's, like, that was one of the first places I went.
One too.
But yeah, the steak, because it's grass fed, and it's on par with anything in Chicago. You're right. Completely. And also, this. Hopefully he's going to give a podcast for your son to listen to on his commute. maybe he'll think about coming down. There is a better way.
there is a better way. So,
and then the last one that we always like to ask our guests is just why economic development matters.
Well, because I think it helps to promote the community, and it helps make us a thriving community, per se. You take a look at any community that is not thriving economically, and they're not going to last very long. Things will move out. It's tougher and tougher to keep people coming back to the community, per se. And so, it's exciting to be living in Bloomington Normal right now, given what I saw when I first arrived here. And it was a nice community, but it was a kind of a bedroom community. And it was centering primarily around the insurance industry and higher education. And we've really gone and diversified the community and making it a more thriving community. And I think we've got a lot of potential here in terms of creating a very, we're centrally located in the state, centrally located in terms of north, south, east, and west. It's real easy to get up to Chicago. It's simply very easy to get down to St. Louis, heading over to Indianapolis or going over to Des Moines. We're in a great, great spot, and it goes back to what a lot of people in real estate talk about, and that is location. And I think we've got that in spades, and we also have a road system, and we also have the rail. I think we've got a lot of pluses going for Bloomington Normal, and I think should be an extremely attractive option for any business that wants to come to Illinois. We've got a lot to offer.
We've made so many rankings. I think it was like last week we hit the Wall Street Journal's, number two in the nation emerging housing market. You're right. And, for me, when people ask, like, what's your goal this year? I'm like, not to drop the ball. Momentum's on our side. Let's keep that going. Glad to have you on the team. Official start date is June 1st. So any businesses that are listening, get a hold of Carl. I need to get out there and, just make sure that you guys are aware of the tools again. Then hopefully if there's an opportunity, get you back on the podcast with the business and help tell their story, because that's what it's about, is the more people understand what we have going on, the faster we're going to spin this flywheel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually have had a business reach out already.
Perfect. So, here we go. He's working overtime.
Someone I know. She reached out and awesome. We'll see what we can do to help him.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, okay. Thanks for being on. Glad you're
Thank
here.
Thank you. Yeah, glad to be here.
Tune in next week as we continue to take an inside look at Bloomington Normal's economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners, and learn more about our BN Advantage.